Wednesday, Vav Av, and Chavis Halvavishir women, Wednesday afternoon, Shar Ichra Maisa. And in a few seconds, I'll say exactly where we're up to. You'll have to wait a few seconds, please.
Thank you. Okay, Chavis Halvavishir Yichud HaMaisa, Wednesday afternoon, and we're going through the various ways the Yetzer Hara tries to ensnare, I should say us, not you. And so a lot of these things we think are not shayach to us. We are way too frum to fall for this. But the points here are very, very valid points for everyone. And even if we don't consciously think, for example, the paragraph we're going to start with now, which is Schar V'Onesh in Olam Hazeh. Even if we don't consciously think the very words that the Chavis Halvavishir says, but we all wonder sometimes if it pays to be honest, if it pays to be frum, if it pays to be, you know, you lost the house, you lost the job, you lost the girl, you lost the boy, because, and then you see people are seemingly successful, and where does that leave us? So these are thoughts that go on in our minds. When the Yetzer Hara gives up for the particular things he talked about till now, this is number seven. This is, we'll call it Taina number seven. So Yishtagel Bezeh, he will move into. Till now it was very, 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 very intellectual, very theological, very conceptual. Now we're starting to move into the real world. Yishtagel Bezeh Mitzad HaGmul V'Ha'Onesh, reward and punishment. Now the Chavis Halvavishir is very precisely, very analytically, splits up reward and punishment into reward and punishment in Olam Hazeh, and reward and punishment in Olam Haba. It's two different things. Now we're talking about reward and punishment in Olam Hazeh. And you'll say, Rabbi Milinowitz, come on, who are you trying to kid? You look around, the wicked prosper, the righteous suffer, and how can we even... So that's it, that's the Yetzer Hara talking. The world is not run in a way that's fair. And, you know, we sort of know that there's a general question of Tzadik Viralo and Rasha Vitovlo. And you figure, okay, Hashem will even out the score in Olam Haba. We think that's, like, you have to believe that. But the Chavis Halvavishir does not say, it's not the only answer. Maybe it's an answer, you know, maybe it's an answer when all else doesn't work, but it's very, very far from the only answer, just to say, close your eyes and you believe in Olam Haba, because if you open a Torah and you learn Chumash, maybe you remember Chumash, maybe you look at the Chumash, maybe you listen to Kriyas HaTorah, the Torah doesn't even talk about Schar V'Onesh and Olam Haba, barely mentions Olam Haba, which is a question in itself, why not? And it raises issues of, where does it say in the Torah is an Olam Haba? But in the Torah, Schar V'Onesh is an Olam Hazeh. It'll rain on time, you'll have enough food, you'll be admired, people will look up to you, everything. If you go through the Torah, everything's Olam Hazeh. So, at the very least, it means that it's not true. And it's the Yetzer Hara that says, this world is hefker. And if you're bad, you could have it good, and the wicked prosper, and the righteous suffer, and that's just the way it is in this world, and Hashem evens out the score in Olam Haba. Not true. It is true sometimes on rare occasions, but if the Torah only talks, since the Torah virtually only talks about Olam Hazeh, obviously we say Ashrecha v'tov lach. If you follow the Torah, you do what's right. Ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'tov lach l'olam haba. We're not moichel olam hazeh. We love olam hazeh, right? We like Chinese food with a good heksha. We like pizza. We like olam hazeh. And Hashem says you're going to have good olam hazeh. The Torah says. So if you're expecting a discussion about it and an answer, you will be disappointed, because I'm following the Chayvus Halvavus' lead. We're learning the Chayvus Halvavus Shar Yichud HaMaisa. If anybody here remembers from Shar HaBitachon, the Chayvus Halvavus discusses the various approaches to Tzadik Viralo and Rosh HaVetovlo in Shar HaBitachon. And he has one approach, and two approaches, and three approaches, and four approaches. And if you remember, even he starts off saying, there's really no way Hashem's knowledge of the world and Hashem's chess playing of the world is so far beyond what we can grasp. And Hashem is dealing with all the generations, and Hashem is dealing. So he says, really, it's just the question is like an absurd. The question makes an assumption that the human mind can grasp what Hashem is doing, and so that's an absurd question. And he then says, nevertheless, I know there's going to be a guy in the future in another 1,000 years, some hundred years. His name's going to be Rabbi Kutcher. No, I shouldn't say rabbi. And he's going to write a book, and it's going to make a big splash. And so I'm going to give you the answers, the answers that we are told by Chazal, the answers that are logical, the answers that make sense. But I just want you to know that really the question, the real truth is that we can't understand what Hashem does, and we believe Kelem Unov Einovel Tzadik V'Yashar Hu, but I know that's not satisfying to people, so I'm going to give you answers. This is all in Shar HaBitachon. And we said, when we learned it, that Chazal is a very, 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 very clever person. And it's important to understand things that way. And really, everything in Torah that we understand has this split-level understanding, where we say, and especially the Chazal HaVavis, who exhorts us to no end to delve into things and to ask questions and to understand and not to be satisfied with not understanding and to question and to, you know, really, really use the mind and the seichel above all, and he's pushing that the whole sefer. But then, you know, then there's we do know that there are things we don't understand. There are things that are beyond human comprehension. We are human, and Hashem is Hashem. Hashem is not just the smartest human alive, he's Hashem. And we say, Kilo Machshavos Sai Machshavos Sechem Velo Dachachem Derechoi. Having said that, you try to understand. And look, you know, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, the Gemara talks about four great sages of Israel that delved into the deepest secrets of the universe called Pardes. And it says, Arbon Nichnasula Pardes. And they pushed the envelope to understand, and three of them met a bad end. One died, one went out of his mind, one became an apikoros because he had questions he couldn't answer. He saw things that he interpreted a certain way, and it meant to him that the whole thing, not true. Well, but you know, when we learn the Gemara, we don't understand what it's talking about. It's not like some jerk in Hebrew University has a question. We're talking about what's
the difference between the apikoros and going out of the mind?
Like,
He went crazy.
No, but it's two separate
people. One became an apikaris because he saw something.
Normal.
He became an apikaris. He became not from. He became a kofar. He saw things that meant to him that there's something. It's that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is not true. I mean, we say, oh, I'm better than that guy. You're talking about a Tana. So I'm just explaining. And Rabbi Kiva nichnas b'shalom v'yotzah b'shalom, which means it's possible to do. That's the lesson of Rabbi Akiva. That it is possible. They didn't go where the human mind cannot reach, because Rabbi Kiva reached it. So that says something. Okay, so you have to, a Jew has to live, again, Chavis HaLovis pushes, what?
He met such a horrible death.
I'm sorry?
He met such a horrible death.
Yeah, and he didn't meet a terrible death. He said his whole life he was waiting to die like this. That's not terrible. If your whole life you're waiting to have something to happen and it happens, I don't call that terrible. We look at it as terrible. He didn't. He said, thank you, Hashem. This is my whole life I've lived to this moment. This is what I wanted and I prayed for. And I wow, this is a dream come true. You know, it sounds funny to us, but no, he said that. That's what he said. This is a dream come true. That we could speculate. We're not told. We could speculate. I think the trick is to start at 40. I don't know. We don't know. I have some theories. I have some theories, but first of all, they're not for now. And second of all, they're speculative theories. I could become a professor in Hebrew University. Like, I don't have any solid rayas. I have some theories why. But it's not no gap. My point is that there are things beyond our comprehension, and like you can't get any further than that. And Shlomo HaMelech says, "Amarti Echkama v'Hirchokom Imeni." So certainly we, the Chavis HaLovis says, "Yeah, rationalist, understand." You know, this whole thing is to explain the Chavis HaLovis is really subtly brilliant approach to the question of tzaddik v'ra'ala. Like, you could miss that whole thing when you read the Sefer, if you just like reading an English translation, where he gives a whole hakdama how we don't understand Hashem, and then he says, nevertheless, I'm going to give you, and he goes on to give like 16 explanations, and you almost laugh, because he just got through saying there are no explanations. And he also stresses that there's no one size fits all, that all of the answers are true, and sometimes it's this answer, and sometimes it's that answer, and sometimes it's the third answer. And ultimately, okay, this is all in Shara B'Tachon. Here he just says, go learn Shara B'Tachon, and it's a ridiculous taina. I will allow myself to say, without getting into a discussion, just to be, because I'm like, I guess after 60, you consider yourself old. Not the women here are young. All the women are young. But I'm old. Because to a man, old is a big mila. It's a big mila to be old. You're supposed to get wiser. Don't tell anybody it didn't work. If you don't tell, I won't tell. But you should know what we think is tzaddik is not a tzaddik. And who we think is a Rasha is not necessarily a Rasha. And what we think is Tovlo is not necessarily Tovlo. You always have to stick around. It's like sometimes, many times we leave the play in the middle. So we see a Hatzlacha. Oh, he got the house and I didn't get the house. And he cheated and he lied and he swindled. And he did what's also to do. And he got the house and now I'm still in my two-room apartment with 18 kids. And yeah, then you fast forward 10 years, you know. And that really, my personal belief from experience is that 80% of the questions are answered by have patience. You walked out in the middle of the play. You see how his life ends up. His life ends up in tatters. Yeah. There's
Sometimes there's gilgulim, and sometimes there's nefashos, and sometimes there's a... And the tzaddik is not necessarily a tzaddik, you know? And anyway, there's a lot of answers, and there, you know... Okay. Anyway, so but the Yetzer Hara makes us wonder, and we all wonder at times, and we feel, does it really pay to be frum? Does it really pay? Okay, not you, me. It doesn't have to be frum. It's like I finally reached where I want to be in my davening. And I really started concentrating on my davening, and I'm in a bigger mess than ever before in my life. Yeah. I don't know why you're laughing. And you know, and it seems like it's endless, because every time you reach a madrega, then there's more to climb, and then you look back and you say, "Well, I really messed up till now." And you know, does it ever? And is it worth it? And maybe I'm better off not, you know, maybe I'm better off being like that person who doesn't understand anything and does so many things wrong, and he seems to be going through life, you know, whistling Dixie and having a good time. And here I am struggling. We all have these thoughts, and it's the Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara says this world is haphazard. And again, the easiest way to fall into it and you think you're super duper frum is to say Hashem evens the score on the next world. And that's not true. It's true 1% of the time. I don't know what the percentage is. I didn't do a scientific survey. But Chavis HaLodis is making a point of saying it's not true. And again, you open a chumash and it's not true. The Torah says you will have a good life if you're good, and if you're not good, you will not have a good life. What? You know that it's talking about, most Mefarshim learn it's talking about that who you thought was a ne'er-do-well, fashlepta guy that everybody made fun of, and he sat in the corner and didn't have any friends, and he's very, very chashuv, lamala. And the guy that sat in Mizrachvant and you thought was chashuv and you stood up to him when he entered the room, he's like cleaning the bathrooms. That's the Olam Hafuch. What? You can clean the women's bathrooms. I'll clean the men's. Okay. The Yoimak, the Yitzhar will tell you, Ke'enim hoylchim ba'olam al derech ha-tzedek. The ilu ha-yohochan ha-derech ha-tzedek, if the world would be run with the engine of righteousness and justice, lo yumetivim l'rosha, Umarian Latzadik, Kamosh Omar, Mi Shehigdamnu Lazokro Bishara Ravim in Asefer Hazeh. This is what we talked about in Shar HaBitachon. Bechashe Yigalu Lecho HaSeichel, and when your Seichel reveals to you, Ofani Atzedek Bishneho and Yonim, maybe indeed through the various explanations in Shar HaBitachon, Bishneho and Yonim means that the Rosha, the seeming Rasha has it seemingly good, and the seeming Tzaddik has it seemingly bad. Asher kodam zochanu olsom b'shar ha-bitachon. I fully explored this area in Shar HaBitachon. So then, just go there, look it up, learn, study, think, and you'll be saved from this. And this is really very insidious, and it affects many people who would never admit it or don't even realize it. It affects our avodas Hashem. You know, you plug away and you make, let's say, commitments on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and then life does not take a turn for the better. And at some point you say, what's it all worth? Or, you know, what's it all worth? Let me go back to, you know, so, you know, you start using maybe better hashirim, and you're more careful about Lashon Hara, and you daven more carefully, and your life does not change for the better.
maybe it's even changing for the worse. And, you know, you say, this is a very dangerous thing. He treats it only in a few short lines, but it's very insidious, and it affects more people than would admit it. So we'll leave that, and we'll go on to the next thing. It's really what to think about. I mean, we could talk. It's just that you have to deal with it. That's the point, and that's what's so brilliant about the Chavis HaLovas and Shara Bitachon. He says, it's probably not a good idea or safe to just say, I trust Hashem. That's why Chavis HaLovas didn't think so, and it's important to have that as a foundational principle. Because I guess ultimately, it's just like ultimately we have emunah. They're the same idea, same thing. You know, we figure and we think and ultimately you fall back on emunah when it doesn't work. What happened to the Abosh and Nichnasu Lefardes, three of them? It's not for me to say. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say they tried to understand too much. Not for me to say. And you see, it wasn't too much for Rabbi Akiva. So we don't really know, but I say that Gemara to see that, you know, you really can delve into things very, very deeply, and it's a dangerous game. And some people will say, so then what do I need it for? Let me Emunah Pshuta, and, you know, we all know the Emunah Pshuta rap, and it works for many people. It doesn't work for the Chavis HaLovas, though. Chavis HaLovas is not a fan of it. He believes, and he spends the Hakdama and the Shar HaYichud saying, not Yichud HaMaisa, Shar HaYichud, saying that you have to endeavor to understand, you have to engage the Seichel. It would be, he says, the biggest anomaly if your hand had to be Oved Hashem, and your foot had to be Oved Hashem, and your stomach has to be Oved Hashem, but your head doesn't have to be Oved Hashem. You could put your head on hold. He said, that's absurd. That's the most hush of a part of a person. That is what separates men from animal. Seichel, that's what does it. So it's the height of absurdity to leave that out of the equation of what you're supposed to serve Hashem with. And although this holds, our primary obligation is to think about Hashem and to study Hashem and to know Hashem. That's our primary obligation. When we learn Torah, speaking now as a man, we learn Torah according to the Chavis HaLovas' view. When you learn Torah, you're learning about Hashem. You're learning what Hashem wants, what Hashem doesn't want. You're learning the various ways in which the Torah's laws function, and that's all you're studying Hashem. That's really what you're doing. Okay, now we move on, and he talks about Olam Haba. And this has nothing to do with the very first paragraph, if you remember. Now we're in number 8, enticement number 8, we'll call it. But number 1 was that there's no soul, there's no life after death, the soul is not transcendent, nothing we do is transcendent, the soul doesn't exist after we die. Now you're not saying that now. That was the most intense Yetzirah. And we remarked, because that comes even before believing in Hashem, which is pretty remarkable. So we talked about that then. Now he's saying, okay, there's a neshama after death, but that's it. You know, there's no schar v'onesh after death. It's whatever it is. The neshama floats around. It doesn't really matter. Whatever it is, it exists, it stays. But there's no gemul. Yisiyai shayetzer migivor aleinu, from overcoming us. Menaponimo elu yisapek aleinu, again, always yisapek, because that's all he has to do. Gemul ha'olav haba va'oncho. And this is not hard to do. As frum as we are, or as we think we are, no one in this room can visualize olam haba. And what we can't visualize, we could say we believe in it, but it's a little funny, because how can you say you believe in something that you have no idea what it is?
So it's just words. I believe in Olam Haba. But what is Olam Haba? What is the pleasure of the nefesh? What does it mean? You're bound up with Hashem. You bond with Hashem. What kind of a pleasure is that? What do you compare it to? All our pleasures are physical, or maybe we have nachas. So that's a sort of a pleasure too. But the sublime pleasures in which Olam Haba, we don't know what it is. We don't even know what the nefesh, what does it mean not to have a body? You know, we have pictures, cartoons. But we don't know. So certainly, it's not hard to make us wonder about Olam Haba and Gehenna, because we don't really have a real visualization or picture of what it is. It's just words to us. So who says it's there? Like, it doesn't say in the Torah anywhere. Like, we don't have the Olam Haba. The Ishtadel, the Yetzirah, will try La'arbev, to confuse us, Ulishabesh Aleinu, and to make us think wrongly about it. And it's not that hard to do. He says, Mitzad miyut mitziuso mavur b'sefer Torosenu, because so little of it, it's barely mentioned in the Torah. You might say to yourself, it's not mentioned at all, but it'll show the psukim that have the implication that there's a reward. We're not talking about that the nefesh remains. We're talking about that there's a reward after death. The neshama has reward and punishment, but it's not clear in the Torah. Very little of it is talked about. Umiut heros einenubo, inyonobo, and it doesn't appear. It doesn't seem to be part of the equation when you read the Torah. Very little of it, so it's not part of the equation, and it. Like, that should be, like, the most important thing in the world. Olam Haba, Gan Eden, Gehenem. Like, whoa. Olam Haba, like, you know, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. Like, that's, you know, mother's milk. Olam Haba. Like, then you open the Torah and you go through the whole Torah and the whole Tanakh. Yeah, really? Like, so, he says, if you look carefully, you will find the psukim that do say it. Why the Torah chose not to talk about it, he rather discusses in other Sha'arim, I think in Shara Vodas HaLokim, he talks about it. He says the Torah has no, he explains things like the Torah has no words in which to portray it. Or he gives the mashal, I'm sure we all remember the mashal of, you know, you tell a kid, you know, if you do this, I'll get you a lollipop. But if you tell a kid, if you do this, oh, you're going to go to Olam Haba. You're gonna graduate college if you behave properly. So the kid's not holding by nothing. You know, he wants the lollipop, right? And then we are all older, and just the lollipops get more sophisticated. But that's what's meaningful to us. Olam Haba is like something that doesn't speak to us. So Hashem is very practical. And you see, we're the whole world of Schar V'Onesh has taken a dive in the modern world, where you don't want to talk about Gehenem because you don't want the children to hear, and you don't want to scare the adults, and everything is only positive reinforcement and love, and you don't talk about punishment, and it's a god of love. And everything's good, and yeah. But in the good old days, they said to a person, "If you're bad, you're going to Gehenna." And they weren't afraid to say that. And it was a very big part of a person's chinuch. And they seem to have coped. How do I know? You know, I don't see that we're so much better off that we don't like to talk about Gehenna. Or we don't like to talk about punishment, only positive reinforcement. But that's another rant, which we will leave for the moment. Certainly it's, I mean, if you know your Kriya Shema, and you know your first parsha of Kriya Shema, Hashem made a person. Hashem probably knows a person better than anyone else. He's a manufacturer. And Schar V'Onesh is very important part of the Torah. It's
in Kriya Shema, it's the second parasha of Kriya Shema, teaches us Schar Va'onesh. It's Schar Va'onesh in Olam Hazeh, as I said, that's what it's called. But the idea, it's one of the 13 animamins, because Hashem is smarter than all of us, and Hashem wired a person. I mean, he could have made a person differently, but we believe that Hashem made a person in the best possible way. We believe that the ideal person has two eyes and one nose and one mouth and two nostrils and no eye in the back of his head, and this is the best way to be. I hope we believe that Hashem made the best possible person, so he made the best possible neshama also, and the best possible wiring. All the wiring is the best possible. And he made the wiring that's Chayav V'Onesh, and it's a great motivator, and it works, and we're like embarrassed. Oh, I want to do things only Lishma. And at the end of the road, the Rambam describes the road of Chinuch, how you offer first candy, and then the candy gets more sophisticated and more sophisticated candy. And at the end of the road, maybe, one out of a million people will reach a madrega of doing things because it's the Ratzon Hashem, and that's satisfying enough for them. But Schar Va'onesh is one of the 13 anima amins. It's one of the 13 ikrim, which is fundamental. And if it's fundamental, then it's important. And it means that it... when there's no fear of again, the whole chinuch nowadays is not like that. But there has to be fear of punishment. If I may be so bold as to say that it's so posher to me that it's a basic Torah hashkafa to have onesh, a fear of onesh. And nothing to be ashamed of. Fear of onesh, and that's it. Discipline is based on fear of onesh. Not only fear of onesh, schar of onesh. It's called the carrot and the stick. And that's the Torah Hashkafa. And I don't see that we're much better off that it was decided at some point in time to take away the stick, because who knows what's going to happen to the kid. And we only offer carrots, and we only compliment and build up the self-esteem, and talk about how good he is, and you can't ever threaten somebody with punishment. That's how I'm exaggerating, but very little exaggeration. So now, please don't call up social services to take my kids away from me. Actually, I have a daughter that I wish he would take away from me. If you know a nice boy in social services, you could call up social services to take her away. Now, there's only one kid left to take away. He just became 12. And he has fear of, I don't know, I grew up with fear of punishment. I grew up with more than fear of punishment. I grew up with punishment.
Did you go into the descriptions of the punishment, or you just say...
You want to know what my father did to me? He hit me with a belt.
No,
doubled over the belt.
Of
Hashalom. And I thank him. I thank him. I don't know you.
Not only that, but all the backlash of all the people that say, you're going to hang by this is, if you don't cover your hair, you're going to hang by your hair.
Whoa. That's not called fear of punishment. You have to have seichel. You know.
You just
need
punishment.
No. It has to be done in a chinuch way. It has to be done. It's chinuch. It's not. You know, come here, I'm going to beat you up. You know, that's just fear. That's not onish. Fear of punishment is pretty me. It exists l'gabi Hashem. It exists l'gabi Olam Haba. It exists l'gabi Olam Hazeh. You know, just to scare people in an unmeasured way, you know, just, I don't know, so everything has to be done with seichel. But I'm not sure if you're asking me a question.
No, I'm just saying, you know, make sure that's not what you were talking about.
Well, I'm not talking about, look, if you pluck someone off the street who's not covering her hair, and you just pluck her off the street and you don't know where she's coming from or who she is, or so to speak, or and you just say, lady, if you don't cover your hair, you're going to burn in hell. That's silly. That's stupid. I'm talking about chinuch. Chinuch has to be with seichel and with measured, but the element of that there's going to be Gehenna, or that there's going to be punishment if you don't act good, that we've been okay, I feel that's been ne'ekar from chinuch. I saw it in my lifetime, it happened. Right, you know, everybody applauds that a Rebbe is not allowed to hit the kids. Everybody applauds. One door ago, it was de rigueur. It was normal. It was, of course, it was understood the Rebbe is going to hit the kids if you don't behave. Does that mean the Rebbe is going to beat up the kids? I hope not. Chas v'shalom. A Rebbe that beats up the kids is not normal. If he just beats them up, does it mean he's going to vent his anger on the kids if they're not listening? No, that's not called punishment. Punishment is not venting your anger. You have to punish the way Hashem punishes. You can't punish the way you want to punish because you got angry and you found Nebuchadnezzar, this poor korban, as an outlet for your anger. That's not punishment. That's you have to go to anger management classes. That's not punishment. Punishment is consequences and measured, and it's always best if the kid sees it. I'm allowed to talk Lashonara about my kid. We have to get ready on Friday. We have like a whole thing we have to do Fridays. And my kid likes to play outside. And he doesn't do it. He has his jobs. Everyone has their jobs. And he's playing outside. So we made a system of punishment. That's all. That next week, you know, let's say he has to come in an hour before we leave. So next week he has to come in an hour and a half before we leave. And that's his punishment. And that he sees, and that's, it makes sense that that should be his punishment, because it was being outside that made him not do what he's supposed to do. So we're taking that away from him because he doesn't know how to use it properly. And he has to come in, and if he doesn't, again, next week it's 2 hours of punishment. There's a series of classes we can give about that, about punishment too. The punishment has to be, the person should feel that it's coming from love, not from anger, not that you're venting your anger. The person, you should always try to make it, that the person should understand it's a consequence. That's always best, because all punishment are consequences. Okay, but the whole approach, you know, he spends 2 paragraphs, enticement number 7 and enticement number 8, that the Yetzirah tries to push aside the idea of Schar V'Onesh, one in Olam Hazeh, one in Olam Haba. I want to point out that our chinuch has taken away, because of trends in psychology, and many leaders in chinuch went along with that. So essentially, I see it everywhere. I see it in schools, I see it by parents. Essentially, they took away the punishment angle. I don't see that we're better for it. That's all. Let's go right there. It's really not, has nothing to do with the Chodesh Halvavos, really. It's just, I wonder, the Yetzirah, there's no Schar V'Onesh. It's a good thing to have Schar V'Onesh. The Torah is full of Onshim. Hashem's always scaring us. What's going to happen to us? It must be a good thing. How to do it, when to do it, to whom to do it, the person, you know, you can't go over to a person and just yell at them and scream at them and threaten them, obviously not. There has to be a chinuch about what's right and what's wrong, and a chinuch that something that's wrong is bad for you, and
then you say, you know, and then there's consequences to your actions, and it's out of love, and Hashem never punishes out of anger, Hashem punishes out of love. Okay. So let's get back to Chavis HaLavas, where he says that the Sfarim do talk about it, they imply it. Kamo Apasuk in Koheles, Baruch Toshav Elohu Elokim Asher Nesana. I'm not sure how that proves anything. That proves the eternity of the soul, but it doesn't prove what we're looking for. I don't know. Nesati Lecha Mahalchem En Omdem Ha'ela, that's a reward. It'll be like the Malachim. Marav Tuvcha Asher Sofanta Livayecha. Sofanta means you put away, you hit it. Sofun, Afikoman. Ayin L'Ras Alakim Zul Asecha. V'olach L'fanecha Tzidkecha K'vod Hashem Ye'esofcha. V'harbe Ke'elu. A lot of psukim like this. In Mashayoru Olam Divir Abaseinu Zichonam Levracha. There's so many psukim. Atta Tov Olam Asecha B'Sholom. Bilam says Tomash Nafshi Mos Yisharim. The whole host of psukim that imply that there's Olam Haba and there's Schar V'Onesh of Olam Haba, which is what this paragraph was about. The Mash Yusuf Meminu B'Derech HaSeichel, and you'll see, and you'll study, and you'll understand, and you'll see it's logical, and imperative, and compelling. Tanuach Nafshenu, so you'll be calm. You won't let the Yetzer be mavalbel you, make you nuts. V'Tiftach B'Birur, and you'll be tochen, you'll rely, meaning you'll have a clarity that this Chiyuv HaGmul V'Ha'onesh, the compellingness of Schar V'Onesh, Gemul Schar, Gemul V'Onesh, Bolam Habah.